Hello and welcome to this Catholic Bishops Conference of England World podcast. Today I'm your host Finn Shiner and I'm speaking with Deacon Nick O'Neill, who is the Senior Area Port Chaplain for the South of England and Wales for Catholic charity Stella Maris. We're here today to talk about some of the things that Deacon Nick does to support seafarers and fishers ahead of Sea Sunday, which is going to be on Sunday the 14th of July. So without further ado, Nick, could you just give us a bit of an overview of the kind of work you do?
Yeah, of course. So in my role as a Senior Area Port Chaplain, I am responsible for line managing 10 chaplains. They are based in South Wales, Cornwall, Devon, across the south coast of England, up to Tilbury, sort of London, and then East Anglia. And I have a mixture of men and women, part-time, full-time, one priest and another deacon. Basically, our main core is to visit seafarers on ships when they come into the UK ports. And we're just going on to those ships, making sure that they're okay, seeing if they're being treated correctly, and then just spending time with the seafarers, giving them a chance to chat, talk, if they want to ask us any specific questions. If they've got time to go ashore, we'll try to facilitate getting them into the town or any local sightseeing. Really, we're just there for the seafarer and we will try to do anything that we can to offer them support or get them anything they need.
And in your experience, what are the biggest challenges that seafarers face?
I think probably the biggest challenge that we're seeing is it's the length of contracts have always been long. So sort of it's quite typical for someone to do 8 or 9 months and possibly extend that by another month or two. That time away, we've seen, has a very negative impact on the well-being of a seafarer. So let's say 9 months away from their home country, they might be married, so they're leaving behind a spouse. They could have children, and it could be young children. Younger seafarers might be leaving their parents for the first time or leaving a home, could be leaving siblings, etc. And we know that most of these seafarers are doing it because it's an opportunity to have a career and earn money that for them they wouldn't be able to achieve if they stayed at home in some other type of career. So they're doing it to provide for their families, which is a very noble goal, to be able to work hard and earn money, which goes back to provide for the family. But of course, the sort of trade-off for that career and that money is that they are leaving behind the people that they're closest to and the people they love. And that time away does impact their mental well-being and their emotional well-being. And I'd say that's probably the sort of the biggest challenge we're seeing is the isolation that they can feel on board a ship. And even though they might be with other seafarers from their own country, being away from those people that you love and trust the most does take its toll. So we see that. And then, of course, some of the other issues that we might see are things like not being able to get off the ship to have shore leave. It could be that they're working longer contracts than they should be. It might be that the wages are not being paid on time or in full. Could be that they have an injury that needs to be treated or looked at properly. So it's a whole range of issues that we see. But I think at the moment, that sort of isolation and impact on mental and emotional well-being is the biggest.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real sacrifice, isn't it, to go all that time without your loved ones. I know I personally would really struggle with that. So how do you kind of support them in that particular struggle?
So I think when we go on board, they're very happy to see sort of faces that they've not seen before, or because it's, I can imagine it's quite a struggle when you're on a ship. The crew are normally, apart from on say cruise ships where you can have sort of like thousands of people working on the sort of container ships, bulk carriers, tankers, you can have crews sort of from 6 up to say 18, which is It's a relatively small number of people that you would be seeing every single day. When we go on board, I think they're quite happy because it's people they don't know and it's new people. they know the name Stella Maris. They know that we are there to provide support. They know that we are there for them. And hopefully they know that we're a sort of listening ear, and we're compassionate, and we're there to help them and support them in whatever they need. So quite often we'll get seafarers telling us about their family. We get shown a lot of photographs of wives, husbands, children. So we get to talk to them about their children, and you always see how happy they are when they talk about their children. We will take on board MiFi devices. So this is a little device which allows everybody on board the ship to connect to that Wi-Fi. They can then make WhatsApp video calls, Facebook calls. They can download movies. We also provide SIM cards, which most people are looking for data, again, so they can make those calls to their families back home. We've had some cases where we've had seafarers who have family in the UK, and we've been able to facilitate them meeting. So maybe we pick up the family members and take them to the port, or we take the seafarer into the town and we facilitate them meeting. And then they're quite happy once they've spoken to us about their family, if we maybe spend just a short time in prayer, just to pray for the family back home. And we quite often get asked for prayer cards and rosaries and Bibles. And we've actually made specific prayer cards for specific seafarers. So we know Filipinos, for example, they have in Manila, there's a statue. It's called Jesus the Black Nazarene. And there's a huge devotion in the Philippines to Jesus the Black Nazarene. So we had a prayer card made with that image and a prayer. And we also know they go to pray to Our Lady of Good Voyage. And so we've had a prayer card made for them. We've had prayer cards made for Ukrainians. We've had prayer cards made for Indians. They have devotions to specific saints and icons of Our Lady. And we've made those. And when they get those, it's something they really connect with and resonate with. So we try to provide spiritual care, pastoral care, and emotional care for all the seafarers we come across, and even those that don't necessarily have a faith at all. We've come across people that don't follow a particular faith, and we've had some Muslim seafarers come to speak to us because they know that we're there just to listen and talk. And we've had some really great conversations. You know, we've prayed with people of no faith, we've prayed with Muslims. It's really nice to see that we can impact people in a positive way with a simple visit.
Well, it sounds like you're doing really important work. Is there a patron saint for seafarers?
So patron saint of Stella Maris is St. Peter Claver, who I think he was a Spanish priest that went to South America and worked specifically with people entrapped in slavery. And I believe St. Andrew is also a patron saint of seafarers. And I think I've recently discovered that St. Nicholas, I think, is also a patron saint of seafarers. So there are a few. There might be more. So there are definitely saints that people can pray to for help and support.
You mentioned there being a patron saint of slavery. Have you had any experiences with modern slavery or anything like that in your work?
Yeah, so sadly, it is something that exists and something that is happening in the UK. So I think normally we would tend to think of modern slavery as something that happens in other countries, not necessarily in our own country, but it does. About 3 years ago, it was during COVID, one of my colleagues up in the north of England received a message from a Sri Lankan fisherman who he'd met previously on a visit. And he mentioned he was on a ship with four other men, and that they were all worried about their lives and how they were being treated and asking for support. Now, that boat happened to be in Shoreham, which obviously on the south coast. So my colleague in the north asked me to touch base with this seafarer, this fisherman, which I did. And it turned out that the five of them were sort of part of a modern slavery sort of ring that was happening in the fishing industry. So we contacted the police, who went down to the boat with border force, took them into the police station, took the the people that the skipper and the first mate into custody, and then contacted Stella Maris again, the police, to ask us what we could do to help support the fishermen. And we managed to find them accommodation that first evening they were taken off the ship. We liaised with the police to get them to the hotel. We provided them with clothing, with toiletries, with some food. Everything they had been left on the boat because it was effectively a crime scene. So the police had sort of cordoned it all off, and they were only allowed to come off in the clothes they were wearing. So we got them some other clothes, some new shoes. We managed to facilitate them contacting their families back home to let them know they were okay. So we had the Sri Lankan fisherman, there was an Indian fisherman, and three Ghanaians. But we ended up sort of looking, because it was COVID and we had just gone into a sort of another lockdown. So hotel, that first night was the last night they could stay at the hotel because of the lockdown. So we had to effectively look after them for about 14 days, I think it was. Through the generosity of a local priest, we were able to put them into a presbytery that was being unused, and they were able to stay there for a period of time. We took them to some different places, sightseeing, like outside to the forest, so they could walk around, so they could kind of see a bit of England, a bit of nature. And finally, we were able to support them going into the NRM, which is the National Referral Mechanism, which is the government's system for looking after victims or potential victims of modern slavery and trafficking. So finally, they were accepted into that program and were taken to safe houses in the north of England. But sadly, they're still in that system. It's been about 3 years since they were taken off the boat, and they're still in the system waiting for a sort of final decision on their case. But it's something that has been happening relatively consistently, specifically in the fishing industry. But I think now that a lot more maritime charities, police, other agencies are really involved in looking out for these types of issues. And I think it's something that's getting better, but still needs a lot of work to help eradicate it totally.
Wow. How terrible. But it's, you know, really good that you were there to be able to support them with the help of Stella Maris. I mean, I suppose COVID in general must have been really, really difficult for seafarers. Was there anything else that happened during COVID that struck you?
So I think what happened, I mean, some companies ended up sort of going bust, and seafarers were sort of abandoned on ships and needed a lot of support, which we did work with over the course of COVID and helped repatriate people, helped get wages paid. Seafarers were effectively trapped on ships and in contracts because they couldn't come off the ships, they couldn't go home. And there was one ship that had a crew of predominantly seafarers from Myanmar. And there were seven men that effectively sort of just took a stance against the company and said, you know, we've been on the ship for 12, 13 months now, and we really want to go home. So the company did get them off the ship. They said, we arrange for a hotel and we'll charter a flight, but it's going to take about a week before you can actually fly home. So they contacted Stella Maris. It was one of my chaplains on the southern coast. And they contacted him, said, can you facilitate getting them from the ship to the hotel? And would you be able to just sort of keep an eye on them for the week that they're there? So he did. He went to pick them up, and they'd been on a ship for 12, 13 months without ever getting off. So effectively on a piece of metal, hard metal floor, industrial looking place, you know, tiny cabin, humming, vibrating, you know, clanking for 12 or 13 months. So when he took them off the ship for the first time, they went to a place called Portsdown Hill, which is near Portsmouth. And these seven men, the one thing they were desperate to do was to feel grass under their feet and in between their toes. So they took their shoes and socks off. They kind of ran in the grass like children. And they were so excited and so happy that they started sort of doing WhatsApp video calls to their family back home in Myanmar, showing them that they were finally off this ship and actually on grass and sort of on the land and could feel the earth and feel what it was like to kind of be human again. And these are sort of very small acts that we probably take for granted. You know, we can sort of do that whenever we want.
Yeah, I mean, as you were telling that story, it's very moving. I was thinking about how it's so easy to take, like you said, to take those sort of things for granted. I mean, it must feel terribly claustrophobic to be, especially for these guys to have been on that ship for over a year. I can't even imagine really how that must have felt. You know, in your work, has your work sort of changed your perspective on anything in your own life? You know, has it made you more appreciative of certain things that it's easy to take for granted?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, say having a wife and four children, and I suppose now the real blessing of sort of listening to seafarers and that time that they are separated from families and children and loved ones, that I really appreciate that I'm in a position where I don't have to sacrifice a career or time away to make sure I provide for my family. So I'm so blessed and grateful to have a job that allows me to be with my family, and even more of a blessing that it's a role for a charity that's part of the Catholic Church, which helps my own faith. And I just think the other blessing, and probably something I had taken for granted, is that there are so many people willing to sacrifice time for seafarers. I'm paid, I'm an employee, and we have great people working for the charity at head office, the support staff. We have all the chaplains doing this great work. But then there are so many men and women across the UK that volunteer for Stella Maris. They give up their time freely when they could be doing anything else, and they give up their time to support us with visiting seafarers. So we have volunteer ship visitors that go out and do the same visits that the chaplains are doing. We have people that knit hats and gloves. We have people that collect toiletries, biscuits, chocolates to give to seafarers. We have people that are parish contacts. So they operate within the parish, sort of receiving all the newsletters, putting them on notice boards. People that get up and do the appeals for Stella Maris at various times of the year, especially at Sea Sunday. And we just have all these people that are just committed to supporting Stella Maris in our ministry. We have hundreds and thousands of people that are literally praying for Stella Maris, praying for seafarers, praying for the work that we do. So it's quite overwhelming. When I joined, I couldn't believe how many volunteers there were that choose to do that.
So just before we bring the interview to a close, could you just tell us a bit about Sea Sunday and, you know, why you think it's important?
Yeah, well, Sea Sunday is, it's important. I think, first of all, it's important because it's a day that we can specifically try to remember all those people that have worked at sea and all those people that are currently working at sea. And especially for the UK, you know, we are an island nation. The sea is so important to everything that happens in this country. I think it's about 80 to 90% of everything that comes to this country comes by the sea. You know, the fish obviously is a big part of our diet. We get a great deal of food from the sea. So to remember that is the first thing. And then secondly, I think for Stella Maris, again, we're very blessed that Sea Sunday, which is coming up on the 14th of July, is set aside by the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales as a mandatory second collection. So this is the day that really helps Stella Maris with our financial situation. And we get tremendous support from all the parishes up and down England and Wales. It's, again, a little bit overwhelming when you see the amount of money that comes in from those collections, because it just goes such a long way and is so important to making sure that Stella Maris is a charity, that the chaplains, that the volunteers are able to go out every single day and make sure that those seafarers have a welcome when they come into the UK. And we really try to be the hands, the feet, and the face of Christ to those people that we are meeting on the ships where they are. And that wouldn't be possible without the support that we get from our parishes and from our bishops and from our priests and all the supporters around the UK.
If there's a normal Catholic in the pew listening to this, and there was some things that you'd really like them to do to support Stella Maris and to support your ministry, what would you ask of them?
The first and the most important, and I'm not just saying this, I mean, I say it when I do my appeals and I say it when I speak to people, the one thing that people can always do and that we are very grateful for is to pray. And that's to pray for the people working for Stella Maris, the people that volunteer for Stella Maris, the people that support Stella Maris. Pray for the seafarers, that they really need our prayers. Pray for their families. Secondly, is to maybe consider being part of Stella Maris, maybe getting involved. If someone's not too far from a port, they might want to consider being a volunteer ship visitor, which means we can reach more people. Might be if you are a knitter, is to maybe consider knitting hats. Seafarers love woolly hats. I can't tell you how many woolly hats we give away. It's incredible. It's to maybe become a parish contact, to be the point of contact in your parish for Stella Maris, which means receiving the sort of appeal posters, gift aid envelopes, etc., and then would be responsible for making sure those things get put out in the parish. And then obviously the last one, which probably no one likes talking about, especially me, and I know that it is very difficult at the moment, say having a wife and four children is asking for financial support, but cost of living crisis is hard, and I know that everyone's being careful with money, but it's to ask people if you can spare a little bit of money, no matter what it is, we gratefully receive any type of donation, is to make a financial donation to help us in our work. But say the first and most important for me is for people to pray for the work that we do, and that would be a great kindness to Stella Maris.